Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we got Scott Rosenblum, and he is with Hugo Posh. Welcome.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Hugo Posh. How are you serving folks?
Well, Hugo Posh is a technology company. Our primary business is enterprise-level apps that solve problems that may be more behind the scenes rather than the applications that are more front-facing. For instance, restaurant procurement apps or data pools or healthcare apps or text-based payment platforms. Our model is we joint venture with companies that we can develop and deploy into their marketplace. And we generally joint venture with companies where the application that we are developing solves a need that they have, which there is a broader need for their market segment as a whole. And once we get the kinks knocked out, we take that application and we push it into their marketplace.
And then you try to replicate it and offer it to other people like them?
Yes. For instance, I believe one of the ones we're going to speak about today is called SkilletWorks, and that is a procurement application that enables seamless ordering of food and beverage in the restaurant industry. And we joint ventured with a company here in town, F&H Food Trading Company, that has a group of restaurants, Little Alley, Salt, and we developed around a specific set of needs that their restaurant and other restaurants like them have, deployed it there, and now we're deploying it to a broader market segment within their industry. That's basically what our model is, and it has served us very well because it has given us a real world on the go experience to develop what we need to instead of coming up with something in a back room that you don't know if you're meeting the needs of the market segment that you're targeting.
But like in this example, they were developing this initially just to solve their problem internally. And then by partnering with you, then they can take that and then offer it to other people. And that becomes another revenue stream for them.
Well, it's really, so we actually, it was something that we jointly came up together. Our team had identified this problem in the restaurant industry, some time ago. And so to develop this, we reached out to these guys, very high volume restaurants with a lot of different products. And we said, hey, guys, this is an issue we have. Why don't we get together and develop this application? We'll solve your issue. And once we get it perfect, we will take it out to the rest of the your market. We'll split the investment together and we'll take this thing and run with it. And it's worked out very well. And that's generally whether we're doing apps, applications in healthcare or payment transactions or any other type of application. We generally follow a model just like that.
So the genesis of the idea could be somebody on your team. It could be somebody that's doing something creative out in the market, and you find each other and then kind of work together to perfect it and then scale it?
That's exactly right. We do have folks that come to us with ideas that they want to develop, but generally it's something that our creative team or our market team has gone out and identified, and then they find the right candidate for that would be a good JV candidate. And then we sit down and put it together, and it works out.
So now, what was the first kind of venture you did of this in this way?
Wow. So it was, that goes back, that goes back to entertainment with some projects that we put together with Hachette Phil Apache Media with Elle Magazine, where we jointly developed entertainment properties, entertainment and tech properties, and then deployed them. So we would come up with an idea, and we would go to Hachette Phil Apache. Hey, here's an idea. You guys could use it to push ad revenue. Let's joint venture on this. So that was really the genesis of this, and it grew into technology, more ad tech type technology, and now it's we are focusing on commercial applications.
And then now you're kind of industry agnostic. You're no longer working as much in the media, but you're kind of focusing on these kind of behind the scenes, not B2C, but more B2B kind of projects.
Yeah. Well, most of them are B2B. We have a couple right now that I really can't go into, but they are more consumer product driven, but driven by using an application, and we're developing these with a couple of large scale industry players. So they'll be the first, but it's nothing that the application is selling. It's the application is enabling large industry players to be able to deploy new product segments within their industry. So it's more B2C for them. For us, it's still mainly B2B.
Now, in the Skilletworks app, what stage are you at now? Is it deployed within those kind of initial restaurants, and now you're rolling it out?
Yes, that's exactly where we are. We needed to there's certain terminology getting what's called multi-tenant and parent-child relationships, which have to do with how you segment applications to people outside of, say, an ecosystem. So if you're at F&H Food Group and you want to go into, say, the Concentrix, which is another restaurant group, that's called either multi-tenant or parent-child. And we are now, that has been completed, so we're pushing out into other restaurant groups right now. And the application has really worked smoothly. We have been operating it since probably December or January in their restaurants, and getting the kinks out, adding the new features that we needed to add, making it intuitive. So we're very excited about it.
So now you're rolling it out to other kind of restaurant groups throughout the country?
We are. The first, we're going to go into about 100 of them here in Atlanta. And then we are going to grow it regionally, and then we'll go nationally. So we, we'll probably start that process in another 2 weeks. We're going to push it out into continue for the next 2 weeks, testing it in live situations and stressing the tolerances in the background. And then we're going to get rolling. So we're very excited about it. And I think the guys at F&H Food are very excited about it as well.
Now, dealing with kind of the restaurant industry during this pandemic has its own challenges. Does the fact that a lot of these restaurants, are having trouble, in terms of getting a lot of bodies in there, is that impacting the usage of this and maybe their ability to take a risk on an app like this?
Well, it certainly impacts. We were certainly impacted from the standpoint of just volume, right? Because a lot of the restaurants were closed. And so that was a little bit challenging. We do have a very good relationship with our partners, so we were able to either get through that and or we did spend the time during the pandemic doubling down. We hired more people. We really focused on speeding up our development timeline because since we were not going to be out there in beta test as much because the restaurants were closed down, we figured that we could pull in some development we had two or three quarters down and just hire more people and get it done. So it gave us, we were able to do that. And so the product now is well ahead. It's the phase one, which was now supposed to be ready, is going closer to phase three. So that's really what we did. Yeah, it was challenging for sure. But, you know, we got, once it ended, the product was further along than it was supposed to be on the timeline. So it worked out well.
But are these restaurants that are your purchasers or potential purchasers of the app, are they hesitant to take a risk of a new thing like this at this stage? And when a lot of them are just trying to stay afloat?
Well, that is something that we're cognizant of. So we are going to allow these restaurants, all of them, to try it out for a while before having to pay for it. So we're going to give them, you know, 60 to 90 days of use. So that gives them time to deploy it, to use it, to see if it's something that not only they can afford to pay, but if it's worth paying for. And, you know, it costs a little bit to do that, but if the product's good, then we'll make it back over time, and the product's good. So we feel good about that. And, we feel that it will help the restaurants at this point in time be able to add something that's going to help them as far as, streamlining their operations.
And that, which will save them time and money. So this is something you're kind of investing in them to see the so they can see the value. So they can see that this is going to pay for itself if they deploy this.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we look at that as a cost on our side of marketing, right? So the best way to market something is to tell somebody, hey, just go ahead and use it. And we're not going to charge you for it unless it works out for you. And, you know, that model for us works out very well.
Now, does it work in, like you mentioned, kind of these nicer restaurants? Does it work like in some of these for franchisors of maybe fast food or quick service?
Sure, it does. I will say, though, a lot of the quick service restaurants, their inventory is really, it's a different type of inventory. It is so heavily controlled because it is right down to recipes. For instance, if you are, let's just take, you know, Chick-fil-A or any of these fast food restaurants, it's regulated right down to the amount of fries or pieces of lettuce you're supposed to put on it. It's never too far out of the spectrum because they have to control their food costs right down to, say, a packet of ketchup. So a lot of these restaurants have very tight controls built into their POS systems that they have developed themselves for their restaurants. So yes, it will work with these guys. But it's not, it's probably, that is really not our market. And they don't also order the breadth. A restaurant like Little Alley, they could place just in alcohol, they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of brands, right? And in wine, they have hundreds and hundreds of bottles, different types of bottles. The breadth of a fast food restaurant is very narrow. And so it's ours is really something that would be set for, you know, not high volume restaurants, but restaurants that have a, you know, pretty developed F&B menu where they're dealing with several different distributors, not just in liquor and beer, but also in food. Whereas in fast food, it's generally one distributor or two distributors, and they'll supply you with this app that goes right into their system.
So it's more for that independent restaurant that's the kind of maybe the locally owned, the one that the menu varies maybe seasonally. The more kind of variables, so that's where you guys really shine.
Yes, or moderate chains, right? That you know, you have your moderate chains out there as well, and so it is good for that type of environment as well. So, you know, it could be if your moderate chains from, say, an Outback Steakhouse, it would be perfect for an Outback, or you know, high-end places like Little Alley or Wolfgang's in New York. So it runs the gamut. But generally, your local restaurant and bar up to upper-end restaurant. Don't really go as much into the really fast food restaurants.
Right. So you're more upstream, and the higher end makes more sense. And the ones
moderate. That's right. Moderate to upper moderate.
Well, if somebody wanted to learn more about Skillet Works, or maybe even You Go Posh, what are the websites that where they can get a hold of you?
So Hugo Posh is simple. It's Hugo Posh. .com, HUGOPOSH.com. And Skillet Works is skilletworks.com. So that would be SKILL ET Works, WORKS.com.
And you're actively looking for restaurants right now, right? They can sign up for this and get their hands on this right now or in a few weeks.
Yeah, so we'll be, we don't want to really release it for a couple of weeks but in a couple of weeks they could go on, they can sign up, they can, you don't have to download it. The whole thing is web-based and it works on your phone. We didn't want to set up an app because people do not like to download apps on their phone. You just log in, once you set it up, then, you know, you can, you send a code to a person's phone. When they accept it, then they can go log in from their phone and they can, start the process. And basically to explain what it does is it enables seamless procurement. So instead of having to, write down an order, a lot of restaurants, when they go do an, when they process an order, just say for alcohol, they take a bottle, they look at it, they say, I need one of these, two of these, and then they have a big pad of everything they need. They have to figure out which distributors they go to, and then they have to send individual orders, text them, email them, call. With Skillet Works, you just scan the bottle, it cross-references through the UPC library what it is. It you say one, or you type one, you go to the next, you go to the next, you go to the next. And then when you're ready to place the order, you say process the order. It breaks it down into individual orders and it electronically transmits them to each of your suppliers. Very seamless.
And is that something you have to do each time, or does it remember what you've ordered last time and then you can do it like that, or do you have to scan it each time?
Well, the reason that you scan it is you don't, your orders always change, right? You could go, you could order five bottles of something and go through them all in a week, or you might not go through any. And so it just depends if you're going to process an order. You'll always have to scan it because it needs to know what you want to order, right? So if you're going to order, say, Death Door, a bottle of Death Door's vodka or Grey Goose vodka, it won't know you need to order that unless you scan the bottle and it asks you how many you want.
Right. So you scan it, whenever you need it, and then you just adjust the quantity and then it does the rest.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And it's, everything's cross-referenced with, your supplier's catalog. So it knows exactly, distributor, whether it's food or whether it's liquor. And when the item comes in, you just either scan the barcode on the box and the order pops open and you can see if you're short or anything. And if you're not, you just hit process and it processes into your system.
Wow. That probably saves them so much time, right? Because this was manual in the past, right? Like paper.
It was all manual. Yeah, you know, it was all manual, and we would, you know, we observed these folks doing the, you know, doing this process for a long time, and we were just like, wow, you know, we could, this, there's an opportunity to develop something that could really be impactful to this market segment.
Right.
And We made it really easy. There's a lot of applications out there that can do certain similar things, but they are so packed with different features. They're very hard to understand. Even though they do a good job, they just are very hard to understand. We made it really simple to use. You really don't ever even need to look at an instruction video. You can just start using this. It is like big buttons that say
scan,
order, right. Send order. We just made it so easy to use for people. And, so that's really some of the excitement that's there, is that people can look at it and they don't have to figure out what it is.
Right. They don't have to send it to their IT guy. They can just, it's intuitive.
Yeah, and even, you know, there are some behind the scenes things that this app can do. For instance, it can push data right into your accounting package and pull data out of your POS system and push it into your accounting package. But even that process has been made easy. It's just very wizard driven. You just go into the wizard and you tag what products you want to tag. What products that we buy need to be tagged to which account numbers in your accounting package, and it knows exactly where to send them.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations, Scott. This sounds like quite an achievement. It's going to really help streamline some of these restaurants that need some help right now.
Yeah, you know, we're hoping and we're looking forward to it. And the team we have, they are so good, and they've done a fantastic job of getting, you know, developing this. And our partners over at F&H Food, Isham and Fikret, are, you know, to us, they're, out of all the partners we have, they are our favorites. They're great to work with. They are always there to answer questions. They do what they say. So it's been a good situation.
Well, congratulations again. Again, if you want to get on the radar of Hugo Posh, it's HUGOPOSH.com. And if you want to get your hands, or at least get on a list to get your hands on the new app from Skilletworks, go to SkilletWorks.com. Thank you again, Scott, for sharing your story today.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me. Have a great day, guys.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing this without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.